webcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, October 14th, 2009, the only second night of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive 2009 ever. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, on night number two. We're starting the second week of the Fall Pledge Drive to promote all things gospel, all things good news, all things the gospel of God's grace and peace. And if you're listening and it's 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States, right, listening live, we need your participation tonight. We want your participation tonight. We're going to be giving you the toll-free number frequently, so you can call in. We'll give you the email address. But before we do all that, let's please welcome in the man that delivers the goods each and every week on this radio show, as well as when he travels around the world, the Most Holy One himself, Michael Williams. Michael!
Well, you almost got it right. It's the Most High Holy Reverend Michael Williams.
Are you high tonight?
High holy.
Are you high and holy?
Holy high. Hi.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to the pledge drive we go.
Yes, we do. Hey, Glenn, how are you tonight?
I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
I do. I always care.
I have a lot of questions. I have no complaints.
Well, I tell you what, questions are something we'll have plenty of until we die.
You think the questions get answered after we die?
I don't think we care.
But what do you think, if you had to say?
Well, Paul seemed to be persuaded that we shall know even as we are known. So that sounds like the question's answered.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, the biggest thing that we have learned in this gospel is how well we are known by God, and not only how well we are known, what is known by God about us. And to think that, to try to grasp the just that reality is an amazing thing, that we are known of God. We are acknowledged by God. You know, we are given so many titles through Jesus. It's just unbelievable, to help us identify ourselves and each other. And then to think that when we leave this life, we will know even as we are known. So, you know, I guess there's several different ways to look at that, too. I mean, is that the point that we're going to know ourselves the better, or will we know God better? Because the reality that I think that we've all been so grateful to understand is that wonderful insight that, you know, life does not function better because of who you look up to. It functions better based on who looks up to you. I tell you, when you are very respected and admired, it can change your whole day.
Yep. That's why we do what we do, ladies and gentlemen, because we want to positively affect not only your day, but the day of anybody that happens to be listening to this webcast or a message on CD or DVD. And that is what your donations and your participation is going for. For those of you who are listening right now, whether it be live or on the archive, and you know when you were entrapped in legalism and religion, what a wretched existence in retrospect, that was, and how enlightening and lifting and emotionally freeing it was to find out that you were already perfect in the sight of God, and how the biblical accounts, both the scriptures, the New Testament commentaries, verified that righteousness, what that did to you, and how it was delivered by Michael, by this webcast, by the teachings that you've received. It's time for more people to know, and we need your help. We do not promise a special blessing from God, a 10, 20, 30, 100-fold return, or anything like that. We are promising that you very well possibly could feel good about participating in this thing financially. But regardless, we're asking for your help. Right now, we're asking you to pick up the phone and give us a call on the toll-free line at 1-800-436-3260. That's the number to call if you're listening live right now, and it's a little after 5 o'clock or 5 after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States. You're listening live. That means the line is open for you at 1-800-436-3260. That's the Glenn Klein Online Pledge Drive toll-free hotline. And we do have a caller right now. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to the pledges that have come in since last we spoke. But let's go right now to beautiful Daytona Beach, Florida. Mr. Mike Cole. Mike!
Howdy.
Howdy, hey, Mike. How are you?
Finer than fish fur, cut four ways.
Nice.
I had an old friend from Arkansas used to say that, and I was got a kick out of it.
Was he a friend that was old, or was he a friend that was old?
Yeah. He was an older guy, retired.
He was an older guy. You know, I heard a saying this week twice, once from the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution that I had never heard before, that he had gotten a wild hair. You ever heard that phrase before?
Oh, yeah.
I never heard that before. And then I heard it again from a prominent radio talk show host that will go unmentioned right now. And I heard it twice within a 24-hour period. And I thought, this must be of God.
And now our first caller has told you he knows the term well.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's happening, Mike Cole from Daytona Beach?
I was just busy with school and work. Full-time student, full-time employee. No rest for the weary. But I did want to call in and encourage people who are listening to give. I've been giving for maybe a year or so now. And like I mentioned last time I called in, you guys are absolutely correct. There's been no special financial breakthrough in my life. But I sure like to give and feel good. And the other thing I was thinking was, to me, it's honoring what you guys do because you guys put a lot of time and effort into it. And it's a way for me to honor what you're doing for me just to pay back because, you know, I don't have to, but I just feel like I don't want to, you know, it's not free for you guys to produce it, and I don't want to get it for free. So this is my way of contributing and helping out, and, you know, a great message that has to get out there.
Well, one of the messages we're trying to get out tonight, Mike, is that we're trying to get people to contribute regardless of what the amount is. That's our goal in this pledge drive, is to get the most amount of people participating that we've ever had. Our goal right now is $15,000 over 21 days, which is not a lot of money compared to what a lot of so-called ministries are doing. Obviously, there's people that are raising $15,000 an hour. But we did a pledge drive a while back where we raised $25,000 over 3 weeks. And a grand total of 16 people, we found out last week, participated in that.
Wow.
And so we're absolutely trying to exceed that number at the very least. And right now, we are at $1,158. Towards our goal of 15 grand. And the money that, or the expenses that that's going toward are things like this webcast, the equipment, the phone lines, the long distance toll-free number, the email accounts, the website, so much of what is being done, not to mention just living expenses. But we've got the Gospel Revolution Convention coming up in November. There's expenses with that. And we've raised... We got a siren going. Where's that siren?
Yes,
is that in Daytona Beach, in Tampa, or in Houston?
That was in Daytona Beach.
Oh, are you under arrest, Mike?
In a couple minutes, yeah. But
okay, well, we'll
he's got to call in and approach the door. No, I'm fine. It was just somebody driving by. So.
All right. Well, we're glad that. If you need to get in touch with us, Mike, to get bail money, you know how to get in touch with us. And, of course, there would be no condemnation for you.
Yeah,
do you have any
Mike.
Questions or specific comments for Michael L. Williams this evening?
Not really. I just want to call and encourage you and thank you for what you do. It's meant a lot to me. I've, like most people listening, a recovering legalist. Raised Catholic, and then I got into the Reformed movement, and then
wow.
The Charismatic, and religion makes me tired.
And then the door was open, and you walked out, eh?
Yeah. My friend introduced me to your tapes, and been listening ever since.
Who was the friend that introduced you to the tapes? Or can you mention their name?
Yeah, and I think I did last time. It was... Dean Stecker, who I don't think you knew, but it was a guy named Wade something or other back when you were in the Charismatic moment where you heard about you.
Okay, great.
And
well,
then
we sure do appreciate you, Mike.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys and all the work you do.
Mike,
do you
want to add
your fundraising
a little bit to the kitty this evening?
Oh, I already gave, but I could give again. I'm doing 25 a month. I'll throw another $20 on my next contribution.
You're a beautiful human.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate that. You just have to give
more,
a one-time gift of $20, but we're going to add that to the kitty for sure. That's what we're looking for. We actually, after the last webcast, Mike, we actually had one of our most faithful contributors donate $1.
$1. That's great.
It was
$1.
Sweet, man. We were like the buck stops here.
Yes, it does.
And we were happy.
Yeah, we were
that.
Ecstatic.
And then, before we were even able to make mention of that $1 contribution, and we talked about David Johnson last week, he contributed another $48 today. This is a guy, Mike, that has over the last. What do you think, Michael? Maybe the last, let's say the last year. It's been a year or less.
Yeah, been a little less than a year.
Consistently, weekly, donated 2-3 times a week, sometimes as little as $1, and sometimes over $50.
Yep.
But we get these totals coming in, and over the course of the last year, David Johnson has given hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars to this effort, Michael.
Yeah.
But it's been $1, $5, $7, and change. It's almost never an exact amount.
No, that's right.
And what a tremendous source of encouragement he's been to us.
Yeah, no doubt. It really has been. And, this is not somebody I'm in contact with or anything at all. I mean, it really is amazing. As part of the group that their lives were touched so deeply when I first started sharing on Grace back in the 90s in northern Illinois, and all of that group of young people, they were just teenagers, and David Johnson was one of those. And, of course, David is in his 30s now, and, he's reaching back. And I hadn't been in contact with David for more than a decade, way more than a decade. And so he just, you know, he just, without any fanfare or anything, he just started contributing. And like I say, it's two or three times a week that this happens now. We're very grateful. And it definitely brings a smile. You know, every time somebody does anything, it does. But this type of attention to is that's what really makes the difference in the long run. With
right, because we know that he's thinking about us several times a week, if not
yeah,
more.
Isn't that just awesome? I mean, and like you say, it's not. You'd say, well, why would a dollar put a smile on your face? Well, that's the thing, is that you know somebody's thinking about you. And I, you know, somebody, I remember in a session several years ago, I got into the discussion about love and showing love. And I said, you know, our biggest problem with love is that we don't find out what makes the other person feel loved. We normally do for somebody else what would make us feel loved. And but we don't take the time to find out what makes you feel loved, because what makes you feel loved may be totally different than me.
Right. Another way to say that is we love the way that we like to receive love ourselves.
Yes.
That is not the way that other people, whether you're in a one-on-one exclusive relationship or friends
yep.
or family or whatever, that's not necessarily how other people receive love. It's one of the biggest things that I learned in my relationship with Dawn was that she did not receive love the way
yeah.
that I received it.
It's huge. It's such a simple thing, but it is huge, and it takes time and a little bit of effort to learn what that is, mostly just by asking. Although most people don't want to tell you what makes them feel loved because they don't want to ask for it. So it takes some attention. But after we did that session, I never will forget, because I, even though I had taught on this and I'd shared on it before over the years, and somebody came up to me afterwards and they said, well, said Michael, said, tell us what makes you feel loved. And I stood there and I realized nobody had ever asked me that in all of my years of living. Nobody had ever asked me. And so I
how old
do
you think you were at that point?
Oh my, I was almost 50 years old.
So you lived almost a half a century before somebody asked how you like to be loved.
What makes me feel loved? Yes, I had lived almost 50 years and nobody had ever asked me that question. And it was funny because I had never thought about it. I mean, I never went around thinking, you know, well, you know, I wish somebody would do this or that so that I could feel loved, you know.
Well, you didn't have any good therapy then.
No, honestly, I guess I hadn't had therapy. I'd had, but good therapy, that's another question. But just automatically, it was really funny to me because it just came out of my mouth. It was almost like teaching the gospel at those moments when I say things that I have not thought about.
Right.
And this response was exactly the same way. It just came straight out of my heart. And I said, the thing that makes me feel loved is when I know that somebody's thinking about me. And when it came out of my mouth, I realized that's the truth. And, you know, I can get, it's really weird at the things that I can get, quote, offended at. But no matter what they are, in the final analysis, it's the reality that somebody forgot me or forgot about me or wasn't thinking about me that is the thing that hurts my heart.
Or thought about you and blew you off nonetheless.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and the choice to ignore that thought. So that is the thing. I think that's why that this dollar gift was so, as we talked about before, those little small gifts had always, that they bring such a smile. And that's exactly what you just said, Glenn. I hadn't thought about it. But with that reality and that encounter that I had in that teaching session, that when you know that somebody's thinking about you, it for me, I mean, you couldn't buy me anything or do anything that would cause my heart to respond more than knowing that you're thinking about me. And that's what happens when David sends those repeated gifts in. And it's not that we don't acknowledge, you know, everything. We're acknowledging the little gifts more than we are the big gifts. And not only that, we have a caller call in and say, you're right. I've been giving for a year now, and it hadn't helped my finances at all. And say so we're giving because we love to give. And, I mean, how many quote gospel shows could you get on that they'd want somebody to say, you are right, I've been giving for a year and it hadn't helped me at all. So, but that honesty and just the knowing that somebody's thinking about me, other people receive love different ways, but for me, that's what I'm getting when I see those repeated contributions, regardless of the amount where David is concerned.
Mike Kolb, you still there? Mike Kolb is gone.
He's gone.
He gone.
Well, we love him.
Yeah, we love you, Mike, and we appreciate you, and thank you for your participation and for showing us your love with that additional $20 gift. Now that line, ladies and gentlemen, is open to you at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. That line is open. Mike Kolb got us off to a nice running start. You can see, ladies and gentlemen, as we're already 20 minutes into this webcast, how much a phone call means to us and means to this radio program. So now it's up to you. If you're listening live and it's a little after 20 minutes after the top of the hour on the East Coast of the United States on Wednesday night, that line is now available to you because you're listening live. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. So that brings us, with Mike Kolb's additional $20, to $1,178. And let's rehearse the folks that have given in the interim between last time we greeted you and now. Besides David Johnson's $1 gift, he also gave an additional $48. I'm going to give the exact amount because...
Yeah, do the exact. I like that.
That's wonderful. $48.60. Not
yeah.
$48.58. $48.60.
Yeah.
David Johnson gave today. Which we really, really... we don't even know if the guy listens to the webcast. We just these emails from him. We're in touch with his brother,
Scott. I don't think that he does,
Scott,
actually.
From Alaska, that Michael just spent a bunch of time with recently on your journey to the north. But we're very appreciative nonetheless. James Forehand from beautiful Corpus Christi, Texas, chimed in with $30.
Yep.
Our dear brother Paul Viggers from New Milton, Hampshire, in England, came in with $200, and Paul will be receiving the thank you gift, which we're going to talk about momentarily. And we hear from Paul frequently. We appreciate hearing from across the pond. Richard Mull gave an additional $100 on top of what he did last week. And Richard also requested that his additional thank you CD set be sent to Roy Musi in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, which we will be happy to take care of, Richard.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much for that additional gift. Richard Mull, one of the truly faithful supporters of this effort, as are Luz and Cindy Rodriguez, who are contributing $10 a month for an additional $120.
Yeah.
And then Mike Kolb's $20. So that brings us to $1,178 for this effort. Right. What we're doing right now is asking you, ladies and gentlemen, to get on the line at 1-800-436-3260 and talk to us about what this has all meant to you and what you can do to keep us going. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran in studio waiting to take your call, put you online with Michael and myself. 1-800-436-3260. Is the number to call. And our goal over these 21 days is $15,000. That's to raise money for our operating budget, for all the things that you can imagine. You know that, as you were talking about that $1 gift, Michael, from David Johnson, I was thinking we're getting ready to send a hard copy newsletter out, and that's going to pay for at least two letters to go out to people to receive more of the gospel. And
absolutely.
So it all adds up, ladies and gentlemen, and what we're trying to do on this specific pledge drive is to get as many people participating at a dollar, at $5, $10, a monthly donation of $5 or $10 a month, a one-time gift, whatever you can do. All you do is go to gospelrevolution.com. That's our website. You click on donate. You just page down a little bit. Click on make a donation. And there you can choose whether to make a one-time donation or a monthly pledge. You put that on, it registers on PayPal, and then please email us, whether you're listening live or on the archive, at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you did so we could report it to the beautiful humans and also count it towards our goal of $15,000. For gifts totaling $100 or more, so like the Rodriguez couple, Luz and Cindy, they will receive free and postage pay because they're contributing $10 a month over the course of the next 12 months. Free and postage paid, the brand new teaching series that Michael did in Canada recently. It's called Ministry Bringing Relief. And if you're ever wondering what ministry is all about, this series will answer those questions from a biblical and logical perspective. Ministry Bringing Relief. So we'll send that out to you. That's what you get. That's what Richard Mull's gift from Roy Musi has provided. And we can't thank you enough. 1-800-436-3260. Go to the gospelrevolution.com website. Make your contribution there. And then let us know at webcast@gospelrevolution.com exactly what you did. So we can report that to all the beautiful humans out there. Well, Mikey, we're getting ready for the convention. We've got a bunch of email questions, but I want you to give the folks an update. I know you spoke to the Marriott North at Greenpoint in beautiful Houston, Texas today. Things are going well as far as the planning is concerned for the upcoming convention, and we can't wait to see all those folks who are planning on gathering, and, you know, there's still not only rooms available, but plenty of time to make their reservations both with us and with the hotel so that people can be there.
Yes, the Marriott and their catering staff is, you know, putting together our time and our meals together, the ones that we get to share together. We normally have breakfast together, and I think we have one or two dinners. Those are always so much fun to be able just to get together. You can't get together too much, you know, when you're together like this for once a year, if you get to come every year. But for those that this is their first time, we have several that are first timers this time. So we are looking so forward to it. And yes, I just spoke to the catering staff, and I'll be on the phone with them and over there at the office actually, and be planning our meals and things like that out. And I really enjoy doing that, and I'll try to select things that everyone will like. But I doubt that you're going to have any fish while I'm there.
Well, I was going to request sushi. No sushi for me.
No sushi. We will.
No sushi for me.
We will gladly order out for you, though.
Are there any good sushi places in the greater Houston area that you know about?
You're asking me if there's any good
fish lover, good you sushi? Would not know about that.
You are asking me if there's any good sushi places.
There's so many things I could say right now, but I won't. Except to say that at 9:30 on the East Coast, we're waiting for the next phone call, 1-800-436-3260. This is night number two of the Fall Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We're waiting to hear from you, 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening tonight, we need to hear from you. Even if it's just a $1, $5, $10 gift, don't think it's too little. And don't think your contribution would be too little. We love hearing from folks. And you've heard, if you've listened to the first half hour of this effort, why it's important. And I have to concur with Michael. That's how I receive love, too, is when I know that people are thinking about me and then reach out. We were reached out to, Michael, by Jason Worley. And he says, Glenn and Mike, I have a suggestion for the Gospel Revolution webcast archives on Glenn's website. He says, could you please put the most recent webcast at the top of the page instead of at the bottom? He says, thanks, love the webcast, keep up the good work, Jason Worley. Well, Jason, we never thought about it, but we think it's a great idea. And
yeah,
so,
it is a good idea.
Our erstwhile engineer and producer and call streamer extraordinaire, Sean O'Halloran, is working on that. And so eventually we will have the most recent webcast at the top of the webpage. And it was just that's just a great suggestion. So
yeah, it definitely is.
We appreciate hearing from you, no
yep.
doubt. Next question comes from Paul Viggers, who contributed $200 to this pledge drive. He says, Dear Glenn and Mike, do you have any idea about what happens with babies and young children who die and go to heaven? Is the part of them that goes to heaven as undeveloped as their physical bodies? Or do they miraculously mature on entering heaven? I appreciate that your answer may be, I don't know, but I would be interested to hear your views. Thanks, Paul in the UK.
Well, we are glad to contribute to Paul's continued understanding and grant him his most expected pleasure by saying, I haven't a clue. You know, this is one of those things where that you could speculate and surmise all day long, one way or the other, as to why it would be. I mean, you know... wouldn't heaven be boring if we're all adults? Wouldn't it be better if we were all in some way ourselves, even our ages? But that'd be one smart baby, though, that would know even as he is known. So I'm not sure what a baby would do, but to follow up with my extemporaneous answer, I don't know.
Well, we're confident that whatever happens, and we're not even just talking to babies. We're talking about kids that have been aborted.
Yeah.
There are a lot of souls that have never literally seen the light of day.
Yeah.
That have died, and we believe. Obviously, we believe that everybody goes to heaven. So, believing that whatever heaven is, you know that it's going to be a very, very good thing. We are rocking and rolling on the Fall Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We just got a $20 gift from Elizabeth and Chris Esmeyer. In
awesome.
Butte, Montana. Elizabeth apparently is having problems with her jaw.
Oh.
And Chris isn't home. So, Elizabeth, we pray in the name of Jesus for your jaw. What that does, we're not exactly sure. But we're happy to do that and happy
Absolutely.
To say thank you very much for your $20 donation. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. And click on donations and make your $20 gift. That adds, I mean, that is just, that's fantastic. That
yes, it is.
To 11.
Thank you very much. How many contributors do we have so far, Glenn? I don't have the list in front of me.
That's a very fine question. Let's see if I can figure that out.
Yeah, because
please
that's
bear
the,
with me, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, the one thing that I would love to see is that we want to reach our goal, but we'd love to reach it with more people than we've ever reached a goal with before. And as Glenn was saying, our last pledge drive was 25,000, which we was met most generously, but it was only with 16 people. And so we want to get past that number, and we'd like to have quite a few more participants in this pledge drive, even though it's only 15,000. We'd like to have more participation than we've ever had before. Now, we've also had double participation by two of the
right.
folks that support us. So,
Esmeyer's is one. That gives us 11.
Oh, awesome. See, there
so we're rocking and rolling, and we have online right now from beautiful Spokane, Washington, Tressa Martin. Tressa!
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Michael.
Hey,
you?
Tressa. How are you tonight, dear?
What's that?
How are you tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Good. I've been listening to you since August. I found the link on Gospel Logic, and it
yes.
took me to your site, and I've been listening ever since.
Thank God for the Gospel Logic. That's what I have to say.
Absolutely.
It was totally amazing. sharing it a little bit with my friends, and, you know, it takes the pressure off. You don't have to convince anybody of anything, but it's a really nice thing to share.
Yeah, it definitely takes the pressure off, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What's your background, Tressa? Give us a little bit of an idea of where you have journeyed.
I did the... pretty much started out in the non-denominational charismatic.
Right. When did you start out there?
I received the Lord in 71.
Yeah.
And, just little churches, non-denominational, charismatic.
Where were you living at the time?
In the Yakima Valley. Actually, I met the Lord up in Ellensburg in college.
Well, and he was definitely there to meet.
Yeah, it was really funny, too, because when we were driving through Ellensburg, my daughter was 4, and I said, Nettie, look it, this is Ellensburg, this is where I met the Lord. And she said, I want to meet the Lord, too.
Aw.
And then so she received the Lord, and she just loves Jesus. This is really good news you guys have.
Well, we hear the lilt in your voice, and that's we hope that a lot of that is from what you've learned since August. You really sound like you've learned some things. If when you get to the point where it lifts the weight off your shoulders, you've learned quite a bit. So just since August, my goodness, September, October, just a couple of months here, so 2.5 months or so that you've been listening. So... we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't hardly feel the condemnation at all anymore.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It is. It's nice when that goes. It's nice to have a relationship with God that doesn't involve condemnation.
Oh, my.
Did
We're
you sign
so
up
happy
for
the,
for you. The e-newsletter, the email newsletter?
Well, I tried to, but I guess I didn't do it right because I haven't been getting it. So I'll go on and try it again.
All you have to do, Tressa, is go to gospelrevolution.com, and then right at the top right-hand corner, it gives you the option to enter your email address to receive the e-newsletter.
Okay.
Or if you'll send us an email at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, I'll make sure that it gets on there, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
awesome.
And I'd like to make a donation tonight. I'd like to do $100.
That's great.
And I did sign up for the conference, and I'm hoping that that's going to work out. There's a few hurdles that I have to do to get to make that a reality, but I'm hoping that that's going to happen.
Have you reserved your room yet, Tressa?
Yes.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
But we are gonna be thrilled to meet you, dear.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you guys.
Oh, you'll meet us. You'll get sick of us by the end of the weekend.
You think?
Yeah, maybe. You might be glad to go back home.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I love the subject of Hebrews, and it's always been a book that has been kind of frightening. So I'm looking forward to understanding.
That's a great point.
It more.
Theme of the convention, ladies and gentlemen, is Hebrews Revealed. And Michael's going to be literally teaching the entire book of Hebrews. And we'll have other guest speakers as well. But we're going to go from Hebrews 1:1 all the way through that entire book of the New Testament, and you are going to be enlightened. And if you're not able to make it, your contribution to the pledge drive is going to help us put this on.
Yeah,
which allows us to produce the series, which will be available to you as well. So I cannot tell you, Tressa, how wonderful this fellowship of getting together with people from around the world, literally from around the world.
Oh, yeah.
People that believe that Jesus died for the sin of all humanity, and there's no condemnation, and there's no judgment, and there's just nothing but just unconditional acceptance. It's really... I mean, you take that experience, if nothing else was done, but just getting together with those kind of people, that would be worth the trip in and of itself.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But the teaching's going to be great as well, and the fellowship, and we're looking forward to seeing you. So you mentioned that you almost never experience condemnation. Now, where do you find yourself being condemned from time to time still?
Well, just, you know, you're just not perfect enough. You know, you have to do more of this and more of that and less of this and less of that and, you know, just kind of the same stuff.
So
but,
when that happens,
you know,
what do you do? How do you deal with that emotionally or mentally?
Well, I just think about the truth of the gospel and just let it settle into my heart and realize that I am truly accepted.
That is amazing. That is totally amazing. And that's what we have, that's the reason we tell people to listen often. That's the reason we tell people to listen to the CDs often, is because as you have heard us talk about, We believe you were redeemed, and you had a very powerful salvation experience, which is of the soul and the mind, and that you've told us about. And now your salvation is continuing. Your soul is continuing to be saved because you are perfect, and that perfection is what the knowledge of that perfection is what is saving your soul from condemnation. And that process will continue, and hearing the gospel, even when you come to the point to where that's all gone, which I'm going to be surprised if when you get there in November, that if one of the first things you don't say to us is it's already all gone. But even after it's all gone, the maintenance program for the soul is the hearing of the gospel, and it will maintain your soul. It will keep your soul in a saved condition. You're redeemed. Your life is perfect in the eyes of God. You don't have to do less or more of anything. But what you just described is that your soul is being saved. It's just like the experience that you had. That was a salvation experience. That was the first time that you received an acknowledgement of God's love for you. And you speak of it with a really delightful remembrance, and I know that experience. But see, from that point, we should have continued having that experience over and 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 over again. But instead, we had the one salvation experience. We got in church and started shoveling guilt and condemnation in.
Mm-hmm.
So all you're doing is picking up where you started in 71.
Yeah.
Is that what it feels like?
Yeah, it does. The only thing I wonder about is, though, how do you get to the place where when you read the Word, you can see past all the former interpretations and the, you know, and just really read it for what it says and what it, you know, in mind with God's total love.
Well, the first thing, go ahead.
That's been the difficult part for me, is how to, you know, read it with new eyes.
Well, that will come. The first thing, though, that we want to see happen, the first thing that is in the mind and the heart of God Himself is not that you understand the Bible or verses the way that through those new eyes, as you said, but the first thing, hon, just let your soul be saved from the guilt and the condemnation. You see, after the guilt and condemnation is gone, see, right now you're looking at those verses and you're looking at the Bible through the filter of the guilt and condemnation that's left.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the default that has been set inside of you, is the guilt and the condemnation. But you just let your hearing take place. Just let all of the condemnation go, and then you will automatically see it differently.
Hmm.
It just you view it differently. That's what a saved soul does. A saved soul sees everything differently, and that has been my appeal. You know, I remember the very first time that I taught on the redemption of the world. And I didn't even have to ask the people to believe me. I asked them if they would pretend for a week that it was true, to go around, and when you see somebody, whether it's a taxi driver or you go to church, go to a different church, or you see a prostitute standing on the street corner, pretend that it's true, that they are all righteous and holy in the eyes of God. If you see somebody with a headdress on from another religion, just pretend. And, you know, that week that those folks did that, I got the most amazing reports. They weren't busy reading their Bible. They began to apply what a redeemed soul would see. They just deliberately went ahead and saw it. And the change in these folks was just amazing. The reports that I got back were tremendous. And they didn't want to let it go. They said, this is life. And so then they embraced the understanding, of course.
Right.
But it does come, and a lot of people do get tripped up because you can't see the difference while the guilt and condemnation is still there. You're still going to find things that condemn you.
Mm-hmm.
But as that is washed away, once again, as that is washed away, as is happening so beautifully, this is such a wonderful call tonight. We thank you so much for calling in, because everybody is relating to what you are saying tonight. Everybody, everyone who has listened and will ever listen to this will relate to what you're saying. And so as this goes, then that is when you begin to see things differently. And I'll guarantee you, every one of our listeners who have walked this path and have come anywhere near where you are at all, they can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah. the times
hey, Tressa,
that I have.
Hey, Tressa, have you either since August listening to us talk or maybe on Mike's teaching on the scriptures, have you heard the teaching on what the scriptures actually are and what they're not?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I found that fascinating.
Okay, so, yeah, that's very powerful because not everything that is in the Bible is the scriptures. That's
mm-hmm.
not what Jesus described as the scriptures. That's not what the apostles defined as the scriptures. But when you read the law, the Psalms, and the prophets as a foreshadowing strictly of Christ, and then realize that the New Testament is a series of commentaries that either comment on the scriptures or the life of Christ or just on what was happening in their experience during their modern day, what was modern day for them,
mm-hmm.
that frees you up tremendously because you realize that not everything. I mean, I was watching our dear brother John Hagee this afternoon, and he was holding up that Bible, and he said, "This is the Word of God, and this is the sword of the Spirit, which cuts asunder and is a two-edged sword." And that's a very inaccurate interpretation of that compilation of writings from Genesis mm-hmm. to Revelation. But he said it with such authority, and he said it with such belief and such passion. Passion. And
yeah.
But when you realize that the Bible is not what we were taught, but is a compilation of writings that for a number of reasons, for political reasons, for religious reasons, came together and eventually became known as Holy Writ, but is not what Jesus himself nor the apostles and disciples defined as the Holy Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a lot as you're reading.
Yeah.
And I think Michael's admonition to consider everybody that you see as perfect and righteous and holy in the sight of God, don't forget that you're in that company as well. Now, Michael said that when you see somebody with a headdress or a head covering from another religion, well, we're not part of a religion
mm-hmm.
at all. We're not part of Christianity. We're not part of Islam. We're not part of Judaism. We're not part of Confucianism or Hinduism or any other isms because we understand that isms bring schisms. We are
yeah.
part of the body of Christ that acknowledges that all of humanity is also a part of all, A-L-L. That's what the book of Romans said. That was Paul's
mm-hmm.
understanding, that in Adam, all were made sinners, but in Christ, all were made righteous, all,
mm-hmm.
A-L-L. And that when you realize that all lived and died and were risen with Christ, all, whether they've ever heard the name of Jesus Christ or not, it changes your the complexion of your thought process and your attitude, not only towards them, but towards yourself. That's
mm-hmm.
salvation. That thought, that enlightenment is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing. It only comes through the recitation of the gospel. I mean, there's nothing else that brings that lifting of the heart and the spirit and the emotions that you have been made one with God, not through any act or belief or prayer or anything or gift or anything that you do, but it is strictly through the grace of God, the unconditional
mm-hmm.
love, the unconditional acceptance of God. And you will come to a place that Michael and I and so many people that are listening to the sound of our voices right now can relate to. You're going to come to a place where you will never receive condemnation from God again. You may feel
mm-hmm.
guilt towards another human being, because you may even feel guilt towards yourself. But
mm-hmm.
as far as your relationship vis-a-vis God and yourself, that will not ever be an issue again to you. And
yeah,
that's a very wonderful place to get to.
It sure is. We look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Bless you,
brother. Come to Houston, Tressa. Hey, right now, what you want to do is go to gospelrevolution.com website, and that's where you sign up for not only the e-newsletter so that you can hear from us when we email folks, but also where you sign up for your donations. And you click on there. But send us your email address to the webcast@gospelrevolution.com website.
Okay.
And that will make sure that when you send your email address there, I'll make sure you get on the list for sure, but also your address in Spokane, and so that we can get you out that teaching series. It's a 3-CD series, Ministry. It's called Ministry Bringing Relief that Michael did in Kelowna, British Columbia. And you will really enjoy that.
All righty.
We love you,
all
Teresa.
Right, our sister.
Thank you.
Love
you guys, too. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful night.
Thanks.
Good night. There's Tressa Martin, ladies and gentlemen, from Spokane, Washington. And that hang-up sound means that that line is now available for you to call at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. We still have got about 25 minutes. We go an extra 30 minutes on the pledge drive because we do spend time talking about the fundraising apparatus of the Gospel Revolution during these efforts. And so we go an extra half an hour because we take that into consideration, but we want to get a lot of gospel out during the course of this effort. But you are now invited to call 1-800-436-3260. We want to hear from you. If it's a little before 10 o'clock on the East Coast and you're listening live on Wednesday night, that means that line is open for you, and we're asking you to call us and to participate as Mike Cole did, as Tressa Martin did, Mike Cole from Daytona Beach, Tressa from Spokane, Washington. You can see and hear what participation does for this effort and does for us specifically. Tressa participating with a $100 gift. For gifts of $100 or more, whether it be a one-time gift like she did, or $10 a month or more, like Aluz and Cindy Rodriguez did, that entitles you to our thank you gift, Michael's 3-CD teaching, 3 CDs on ministry bringing relief. And all you do is go to gospelrevolution.com, make your best donation there. It gives you the option of a one-time gift or a monthly contribution. And what we're looking for is participation. We don't care what the amount is. We are absolutely going to get over that 16-person level that got us to $25,000 in a past pledge drive. 16 people raised 25 grand. We're trying to get as many people as possible to raise $15,000 as we've adjusted for the current economic climate, which we're aware of and we're sensitive to. But we want you to participate tonight. It doesn't make a difference what amount it is. If you're listening on the archive or you're listening live, just go to gospelrevolution.com, make your best gift there, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you did with your shipping address for gifts of $100 or more in total, so that we can send you out the thank you CDs, and we will get those out post-haste to you as Don Murphy from Montana duplicates and produces and ships those to you directly from around the globe, wherever you're listening from, whether it be on the archive or live. If you're listening live tonight, we want to hear from you right now at 1-800-436-3260. I will be bold and say that we need to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. You'll talk to Sean O'Halloran. He will get you online with us, and then we will hear from you. Mikey, I cannot express the blessing that it was to hear from Tressa tonight, just her heart, her voice, her experience. I mean, that is really what it's all about for us.
That's better than dessert, I tell you. It's my. That's kind of like looking into your own child's face and seeing their awareness come alive and experience things for the first time. And that's just, like you said, that's just, it's unbelievable what that is like to hear from Teresa. It's just amazing. We appreciate her call. We appreciate her. And we will put all effort that is needed behind Tressa to support her in her endeavor to walk out of guilt and condemnation. There is no shortage of time that we would not help anyone at any time. My personal home phone number is on the website. And even if I'm not in and can't get your call immediately, it will be returned. But that's my life. That's what I do. And to be able to help somebody, and Tressa's question about how do you see the Bible differently? How do you read differently? I don't think anybody's ever asked me that question. So you got a fresh answer tonight as to how that works. I really didn't understand that until I began to explain it, and then it was all just perfectly clear. So,
well, we understand that process. Hey, we mentioned Luz and Cindy Rodriguez earlier participating at a $10 a month donation, which we really appreciate, via the Gospel Logic website. He's on the line right now with us from Pleasanton, Texas, with a question for Mike. Luz!
How's it going?
¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, usted.
Y tú? Dude?
No, I just had a question for Mike, actually, because I was reading some of his transcripts, and he mentioned a book called The Legalist, and I was wondering if you ever did read any of those, or how I could get my hands on one.
Luz, you know, the one thing that I would suggest that you do, occasionally things like that turn up on eBay or something, but those books are no longer in circulation. It is just a tragedy. I went to the gentleman's house personally and got the last two boxes. And that's been a decade ago or more. And what a boost for me that I had someone just beginning to understand grace, and I actually got to read my first book. I shouldn't talk so highly of it because people can't get it. But it was the first thing I ever read that affirmed what I had been teaching. The first thing that I had ever read. And of course, you know, we've grown in the gospel, and I hope the writer of that book has also, and the people who've read his book. But I, you know, one of the things I would love to do is get it back in circulation again, but we've not been in a position to do that. But I am at a loss for the gentleman's name at the moment. That may come to me at another time. But if you just go online, I Google everything. If I'm watching TV, I've got my laptop near me, and I'll see a movie star or something, you know, and I'll think, well, I wonder if they're still alive. And I Google everybody and everything. So, but just go and Google The Legalist and just see what you come up with. You might be surprised. There might be somebody on eBay or something like that that actually has some copies of that for sale.
Yeah, I found a few pages, but it was actually nothing pertaining to that book, so I just kind of gave up on that and just decided to turn on to the webcast and see what you
there
guys
you
were talking about today. But no. I had an encounter with a guy today, and I was sharing, you know, what I've been learning and through your website and stuff, and like basically he called me hyper Calvinistic and so many other things that I don't want to say. This guy, he called himself a reverend, And, you know, I just kind of hugged him and went on my way because, you know, the line of work I do and stuff. But he just told me, that's why you need to come to my services and stuff, and you'll get your washed from all that junk you've been listening to or reading and stuff like that. It kind of got me down a little bit, but, you know, I just moved on, and I'm not getting discouraged. It just kind of empowered me a little more. I kind of felt like Paul, you know, he was kind of rejected for the things he believed and stuff, and so I don't really know what to, other to say. Just that, I just prayed, blessed the guy, and I moved on. But Mike, it's
they were not thrilled with Paul. The New Testament brethren were not happy with the Apostle Paul. Hey, Luz, you got to do me a favor, though.
Yes, sir.
Email me at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your shipping address.
Okay.
I got your last email, and I appreciate your contact through Gospel Logic, but we want to send you this CD series for free for your contribution, okay?
Yes, sir. No problem.
Pardon me?
I said, I sure will do that.
Okay, it's just webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and then just email me with your address for you and Cindy so that you can get the teaching series on the ministry. All right?
Now, Liz, let me tell you something that will be different about this encounter and you coming and telling someone, you know, where you're learning something for yourself that's new. And it's, you know, bringing you what you feel to be understanding. We believe that it is understanding. But at this point is where that you would be warned to stay away from those people, not go to that church. But this is where you're going to get something different. If you want to, take him up on his offer because go to his church, because the one thing that we're confident of is that there's nothing that makes the gospel more real than the backdrop of legalism. And we have never, ever advocated that somebody not go to church or stop going to their church. I've always supported whatever a person's decision is, for whatever reason, to go to church, because I don't sit around in angst thinking that legalism is going to overpower the gospel, because one shred of light from the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, and legalism begins to show up like a I watched some of these crime investigation, and they turn on one of the lights in somebody's room, and it shows fluids and stuff that are in the room. And that's like what the gospel does with legalism. You may not have seen it before, but see, we don't have to try to teach you what legalism is. Only thing we have to do is share the gospel with you. You find out for yourself what legalism is. You see it. It's just what the very same thing that Teresa was talking about, and we shared with her that the gospel just causes you to see things differently. Well, one of the things that you see differently is legalism. So any time that somebody feels that little bit of discouragement because of something like, it's kind of like having, it's not even discouragement, it's kind of like somebody throwing cold water on you, you know. You're excited about something and then somebody says something negative about it. But that would happen to you, Luz, even if you just bought a new car. And you just bought a new Chevy, and somebody come by and says, "Oh, I would never buy a Chevy. I want a Ford. You know, you got to have Ford." Well, you know, I'd kind of throw cold water on the experience. So that's all that he did, is just kind of try to throw cold water on your experience. But the one thing that I can assure you that you do not have to cower from is his doctrine. Go sit and listen to him if you decide, for whatever reason that you would decide to go sit and listen, or don't. If you decide not to, it is your freedom. You do whatever you want.
You do whatever you want. Michael has even suggested on this very webcast, Luz, that we had a guy who was a Mormon, and he told us about his experience, about how he had come to understand the gospel, and we encouraged him to stay in the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing more legalistic than that. Except maybe the charismatic church, I don't know. But you do whatever you want to do, and don't
yeah.
feel any condemnation or any guilt or any second-guessing. You do whatever you want to do, knowing that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you know, I have actually, since I've come out of Christianity and churchianity, the church, I've actually gone to a bar. Can you imagine that? I've gone to a bar where people smoke and haven't felt one iota of guilt.
Yeah.
So if I can go to a tavern where people are smoking and drinking and swearing and not feel any guilt, you might be able to go to a service and feel the same thing. I don't know, but you'll have to report back to us, okay?
Sometimes
I
a church
sure
is a little sometimes a church is a little tougher place than a bar, so hold on.
But Luz, in the meantime, email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your address so we can ship you this CD series, all right?
All righty.
Thanks, Luz. We'll see you soon.
Hey, how far is Pleasanton from Houston?
About a 3-hour drive.
All right, well, it's not very far. We're having our convention, you know, coming up in November.
Well, we've got the meeting with Luz over there, the 6th and the 7th.
You got Michael coming to your house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, you're a lucky guy.
Yes, sir, I sure am. And,
have you ever met him in person?
Appreciate Mike. No. I just James Forehand introduced me to him, or gave me his name and number, and I called him up, and now he's coming to Pleasanton.
Okay, well, so that's
how simple
how
it works.
It is to have him come to speak to a group. He's coming to Luz Rodriguez and Cindy Rodriguez's house to come and teach the gospel, as he did Luz to my house. Michael came to my house, Mikey, I think is about 12 years ago at this point.
I think so.
Yeah, somewhere like that. We had maybe 6 people in my living room, Luz. And Mike taught for the first time ever in public the redemption of the world. And it was a three, at the time, cassette series that went all over the planet and eventually,
yeah.
we found out, was actually translated into Mandarin Chinese. And that was done in my living room.
I'd like to ask Mike, are you planning on doing any recording or anything when you come over to my house?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll be bringing my recorder with me.
Okay, that sounds good. And just a shout-out to everybody who's in the area. If you know where Pleasanton's at and you're in the San Antonio area, hang on by. My number, I got a, it's 830-569-8605.
Luz, awesome. Do me a favor. When you email me your address, email that phone number, too, okay?
I sure will.
And we'll send that out to everybody. So you're coming to Houston?
We're going to try our hardest to make it.
Well, I hope you do. I would love to meet you guys in person.
You know what else?
Yeah, we're thinking about at least going for, if we can't stay, just go for the day, drive over there and take in, you know, and then come back maybe that night or something.
Awesome.
Yeah, do
one
that
of those nights
for sure.
You know what else that Luz told me about my visit? You think Luz is a very lucky man? Let me tell you what else I learned about my visit there, is we are taking one evening and we're having a barbecue with all the trimmings. Now,
are you going
to
be barbecuing?
Yeah, who's the lucky man now, right?
Who's the lucky man now?
What are you going to be barbecuing, Luz?
I am, actually.
No, but what are you going to be barbecuing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm on my cell phone. It's breaking out. Brisket and sausage and all the trimmings.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, well, just make sure that it's kosher. No pork.
No
shellfish.
Yeah. Oh, only beef and mesquite wood over here, South Texas.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm so hungry to go to this meeting.
Upside down, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. That sounds good. I like me some barbecue spare ribs as a nice Jewish boy, but don't tell anybody.
Good to
we'll
be
see
free.
What I can do. But,
all
hey,
right,
but
Lou,
you guys
thanks
have a
calling.
Good night. I'm going to get to some studying, okay?
All right. Get on that computer, though, and email me your address and your phone number, okay?
I'll do that right now.
Thanks, our brother.
Thanks, Liz.
All right. Yeah, guys, take care.
All right.
Love you.
There's Luz Rodriguez from Pleasanton, Texas. You're going to Pleasanton, Texas?
I am.
That's very pleasant.
With a Texas barbecue waiting for me.
That is sweet. You get all the breaks.
I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have a break now because the phone line is available to you, and we've got plenty of time for you to get online at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. This has just been flat-out fun tonight, but we want to hear from you to provide some more fun. 1-800-436-3260, night number two, week number two of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. It is our goal over these 21 days to raise $15,000. We are quickly approaching $1,200. I think we're over $1,200 with Luz's contribution, or no, with Tress's contribution. And we need your help. We're asking for gifts, small, large, medium. It doesn't make a difference. We're looking for participants. $1, $5, $10, monthly donations of said amount, a gift of one time. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever you can do, we want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260 if you're listening live. If you're listening on the archive, just go to gospelrevolution.com. Email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can include it in part of our goal. And for gifts of $100 or more, you will receive the brand new teaching series from Michael. It's a 3-CD series from Michael called Ministry Bringing Relief. That's the name of the series, Ministry Bringing Relief. And now without wait a second here. We're going to thank Tressa Martin. Her gift of $100 came through. Way to go, Tressa. There's her address in Spokane, Washington.
Awesome.
And now online with us from beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. We are all over the map tonight. Let's welcome Jeff Robertson. Jeffrey!
Hey, guys. How are you?
Is this the Supreme Court justice?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That would be John Roberts.
Oh, that's John Roberts, yeah.
But Jeff, is that in relation to Pat Robertson?
Oh, no, praise God, no.
No, you are related. Sorry, we're all related. Even science, Jeff, has verified that we're all from an original couple, the initial couple. So you are related to Pat Robertson.
Yeah, but supposedly that part of me died on the cross. Thank God.
Good point, Jeff. You've been listening. You've been paying attention.
It's a shame that I've got the same last name as him, but
it could be worse. Your last name could be Hitler. It could be worse.
No, but we do share the same birthday.
You and Hitler do?
Yeah, unfortunately.
April the 15th.
Your birthday is
April
20th. 420.
April 20th.
Well, that's in some quarters, that date is a very good date.
Well, I was also born on Good Friday.
Nice.
You don't know what I went through when I was growing up thinking about being born on Hitler's birthday and the day Christ died. Oh, my God.
Wow, what a trip.
I mean, there are people out there, undoubtedly, that Hitler has got to be. You never hear of anybody named Hitler. And you never hear of anybody named Adolf. Nobody.
Nope.
And those were common names, as is Robertson. Well, you're the son of Robert. We're glad to have
son
you.
Son of Robert. Scotch-Irish.
Nice.
Scotch-Irish name.
How are
yeah,
things in North Carolina?
You guys got me thinking. No, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting
you? No, go ahead.
You guys got me thinking about something. I don't know if you remember our conversation back in July. I was calling you from Cleveland, Tennessee. Talking about how I'd gone to Germany when I was a teenager, and that's where God pretty much showed me what the gospel was. I went over there full of
right,
Christian
I remember
upbringing.
That. You were with a family, and they were, like,
yep.
totally not into it.
Right, they were atheists.
Right.
Yeah, all my friends were atheists. It was northern Germany, they're pretty much all atheists. And I, of course, came from a lot of churching and a lot of Christian upbringing, and I was active in my church, but I had to get away, so I kind of escaped over there. I went to school and everything. I remember, though, when I came back, and the whole thing that made me think of this is Glenn, when he said, when he was talking to, I think it's Tressa, about looking at people, whether they're wearing headscarves or anything else like that. I remember when I threw all my Christian upbringing out the window without even knowing it, kind of. I was able to look at all the international people living in that city. It was a large city, and there were a lot of Muslims and things. And, of course, all the atheists bothered me, too. I thought they were all going to hell when I first got there. Including the family I lived with. Anyway, when I kind of threw that whole Christian upbringing mentality out the window, I saw everybody as like my brother and my friend. When I got home back to the States, about a month later, the organization I went over with, I was an exchange student, they had a little get-together for students about to leave to go on their trip for a year or 6 weeks or whatever. They wanted me to go and meet them and tell them about my experience. And I ran into a girl while we were there at the meeting, and she was talking about how she was a Christian, and she was worried about finding other Christians over there. And I all of a sudden realized, I had this wonderful experience with God. I realized how much he loved me for the first time in my life over there. And I all of a sudden realized I didn't identify with being a Christian anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually realized I wasn't anymore.
Right.
And the funny thing was, I realized I was Christ. I realized I was one with Christ. But I wasn't a Christian anymore. And so I didn't say anything. All I told her is I smiled. With all the love in my heart, all I told her was the absolute truth. I said, you can find Christ anywhere. And you know what? That seemed to just hit her just right. And all of a sudden, she calmed down because she was really worried about that. But I did. I found Christ in every one of those people over there, you know? And they didn't even believe in him. That's the reality. That's the truth of the gospel.
That is.
That is the truth of the gospel.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty powerful, man. When you can find Christ in Mohammed Ahmadinejad, you know that the gospel is pretty powerful.
Yep.
But I even did. I found Christ in beer-swiggling Germans.
Yeah. Everybody, all my friends that were atheists, the family I lived with were atheists. I ran into a lot of people that were Muslim, some Hare Krishnas, a few other people. I found Christ in every one of those people. It was the absolute truth. It confirmed Christ in me. I think that's how it worked too. It just confirmed Christ in me. You know?
Yeah, it definitely does. It reflects right back on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I could see what was in me that I had discovered that, because I could see that everlasting life. I was starting to realize that eternal life, that abundant life, was actually alive in me.
Yeah.
And because of that, it gave me eyes to see it in them, too.
Oh, that's beautiful, Jeff.
So,
that is what you call a saved soul.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one more thing. I was just speaking to a friend the other day, And I was afraid to push the issue. Someday I'll be able to reach him a little better. But we were just talking about, because, you know, I kind of fell back into some legalistic crap when I came back. Went to New Life Bible College and crap. And
wait a second. You didn't just go to church one time. You went to Bible school?
I went to New Life Bible College, yeah. Yeah, this might all come back to you.
Where's New Life Bible College?
That's Normal.
Yeah, that's in Cleveland, Tennessee. That's Normal.
Was that Normal?
Yeah,
it's Normal.
You went to Normal. Wait, after you came back from Germany and saw Christ and your atheist friends, then you went to Normal's Bible College?
Well, about 10 years later I did. When I came back from Germany, I had to live in that super religious, unhealthy home that I grew up in for another year, and something got a foothold in me. And I really, about 10 years later, I was starting to get a little confused, and I knew I had, as far as I'm concerned, I had a call on my life, and wound up going to New Life Bible College because a friend recommended it to me. And I got there, and some weird things happened, and in the middle of my second year, you know, I was so full of condemnation. This might remind you, I got to the point, I was so legalistic that I couldn't even, I got to the point where it's like, okay, I can't live up to this. One thing I know, just believe in Jesus. And as soon as I decided to do that, I couldn't even believe in him anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I struggled with that, and finally I woke up one morning and I remembered Jesus said, "It is finished." And I got out of my bed and I said, "Those idiots over there at the New Life Bible College don't know what the heck they're talking about." And and I just walked away from it.
10 years, beautiful humans. Tressa Martin, do you hear this? 10 years after receiving the gospel.
But you know what? I still, like Mike said, some things still condemn you. I had so much of that. I've spent the past 20 years, you know, plucking out all the gravel and stones that got ground into me over there. I still find stuff coming to the surface and go, golly.
Like what?
Oh, man. Well, just a couple weeks ago. Well, not even that long ago. A little over a week ago. I started thinking about, I went for a walk and I was praying, and when I came back from the walk, the thing that was on my mind was the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then my Bible just happened to be open to the verse, pray lest you fall into temptation. And Jesus said that right before he said the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
And, so I started wondering, what would be the temptation? See, and you don't want to go down that thought process. Cause then I thought, well, maybe the temptation is the doubt. You know, by the end of that day, I was just struggling with doubt. And I was like, oh, my God. By 10 o'clock at night, I was like, oh, Father, I just put myself under another damn rule. And I was like, as soon as I realized I put myself under a rule, I was like, that's where all this crap came from.
Yeah, but as soon as he said, "I put myself under a damn rule," then you were freed up somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, because I put myself under a rule. Don't doubt. So I tried all day not to doubt. And I was like, I didn't even realize what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap. I did it again.
Yeah.
Oops, I did it again.
Yeah. But, you know, here's something else that I just remembered. Because of something else you guys said, it triggered it. This friend I've been talking to, now, he went to New Life. You know, he got some value out of it, all right? I'm not going to condemn the place. I mean, what I went through, that all hit me internally, you know? Everything else they said was just squawk. Some things hit me internally, but it came from them. They didn't help. Trust me, they didn't help. But, he got some value out of it. And so I'm kind of tender and gentle when I talk to him. But I told him about that little experience. I said, you know what? I found myself putting myself under law. And he said, And I said, as soon as I got free from the lot, and he's like, well, that doesn't mean that you can just go out and do anything. And I was like, you missed the point. It's like the righteous live by faith. They don't live by the law. And I said, the law died in the body. What did I say? I said it was abolished in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was fulfilled and abolished in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I am free from that law, and I live by faith. And he was so worried. He's like, but don't, you're not free to just go out and do anything. Well, you know what? That's what the carnal mind thinks. You're free to go out and be a whore or whatever you want to do, or a glutton or a murderer or whatever you want to be. When you live by faith and you are free from the law, you're free from that law activating all that stuff within you you don't want to do to begin with.
Well, there's truth to that, Jeff, but the one thing that I would say to your friend is, what does anybody do that they don't want to do? So when somebody says to me, well, then you're free to do whatever you want to do, like you go out and kill somebody, I always respond to them as like, well, do you want to kill somebody? And they say, no. And I said, then don't kill anybody. Because the reality is, as far as the righteousness of Christ is concerned, we are free to do whatever we want to do.
And that's true.
That's why the grace of God uncovers the human heart completely. Because we have to confront ourselves with the fact of what we truly want to do and what we are being tempted to do through the law. Don't forget that the Apostle Paul said that the law adds power to the temptation.
Right.
In other words, whatever we're being tempted with anyway, when you add law to it, you're going to be tempted more by it. It adds a power behind it.
Yeah. So, see, when I went to Germany and I found the gospel and I became free from the law then, what I found in myself is I used to try to live up the 1 Corinthians, you know, the love chapter. I used to try to live up to that, you know, love is patient, love is kind, and all that stuff. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't love people unconditionally. And I tried living up to forgive your brother, and you know, I tried living up to all of that. And I couldn't do it. Once I got free from the law, I found I was naturally free to do everything I found I couldn't do before.
Yeah.
When I started living by faith and basically became dead to the law, I found I was actually free to do what I was tried to do to begin with.
Absolutely.
And
don't forget that the faith that you're free to live in is not your faith. It's the faith of Christ.
Yeah, it's pure and holy faith, which is the faith of Christ.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with your ability to believe in Jesus, like you found frustration with at Norval Hayes' Bible College.
Right.
You can't even believe in Christ enough. It's not possible.
Right, it's not possible. I've already proven it.
everybody proves it. Anybody that tries it proves it every day. That's why, Michael, that when Jesus went to the cross, even having challenged them to believe, even warning Peter that he would reject Jesus three times before the cock crowed,
and he swore he would not.
When he went to the cross, nobody believed. Nobody.
Yeah. The ability to believe experience. And I really do believe that it's just exactly like what Jeff said, that Jesus applied that that rule to make a point, just like all of the laws were applied to make a point. The requirement to believe was applied to make a point. You can't do it. You know, I can do miracles for you. You can see me raise the dead, walk on water. I've never seen those things happen. And even those guys couldn't believe. And then here Paul, you know, and here's the comparison, you know, for your friend. Here's Paul, who was a murderer, who was murdering because the law, because he was inspired by the law to murder. And he did not stop murdering until he encountered the grace of God, until he was freed from the law.
Well,
when he was freed from the law, he gave up murder.
Yeah. If you remember the parable about Lazarus, Jesus mm-hmm. said even in the parable that Father Abraham told, who was the rich man down there?
Lazarus.
Anyway, Father Abraham told the rich man down there, he said, because the rich man said, well, send Lazarus back to life and back to my brothers so they don't have to come here. And Father Abraham said to the rich man, even if a man rises from the dead, still they will not believe.
Yeah.
Wow. And
Wait a second. That was a direct reference to Jesus's being raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Right.
That those that would see Jesus literally raised from the dead would not believe enough.
Yeah.
Right.
There were, by account, 400 people that saw Jesus raised from the dead, and still they could not believe well enough to satisfy the requirements of God.
Exactly. If you live by faith, if you find faith, that faith is not yours. That faith is something that happened to all of humanity when Jesus Christ took back his life. When he took back his life, life all of a sudden in the spiritual realm of man became alive again. Even though Adam externally did not die, he died spiritually. When Jesus Christ was raised back to life, so was the spirit of every man and woman. And anything that is found in faith, it comes from Christ. It's the new man. It's the twain that are made one.
That's good preaching, Robertson.
Yeah, well, I had a good teacher there, Williams.
Oh, Jeff, that's fantastic. Hey, did you want to participate in the pledge drive at all tonight?
Well, you know, I'm still on unemployment. I get my unemployment check next week. I'm planning on doing something next week.
All right, do at least $1.
Do at least $1. All right, yeah. $1.
All right, we're gonna commit you to $1.
We want to add your name to the rolls.
Okay, add my name to the rolls.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, and then we'll just try and add to the dollar next week.
There you go. Thanks, Jeff. We love you.
So, Jeff, yep. you live in North Carolina?
I've been moving all over, guys. I've been looking for a job now for over a year. I ran a hotel down in Cocoa Beach. Then I was over visiting Jackie in Cleveland in July, and now I'm in Asheville freezing my butt off.
Send that south, will you, please, because it's been hotter than H-E double hockey sticks down in Tampa still.
I've been talking to my friends in Cocoa Beach. It hasn't been under 90 degrees in I don't know how long there.
No, it's we're the only place in the United States that's still under global warming.
Yeah,
all right, $1. We're
Pardon?
Putting you down for $1.
Okay, put me down for $1, and I'll try to raise that dollar next week somehow.
All right, just go to the website and make a contribution.
Right.
It'll come through, and we will be lifted.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
All right, we'll do.
All right, thanks for calling. We really appreciate it. Don't be bad.
No problem. All right,
Jeff.
There's Jeff Robertson, ladies and gentlemen, lately from Asheville, North Carolina. Pledging $1. All right, so we're at 20 minutes until 11 o'clock. We still got to. I feel like there's been people that have been listening to Jeff Roberts. How could you not be inspired by that testimony? We're going to wait a few more minutes here on the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive to take your call at 1-800-436-3260. Somebody's out there listening right now. They're still listening live. They're encouraged. They're excited. They want to get on the phone and talk to us. We're going to keep that line open for a few more moments. 1-800-436-3260. We never go under time. I think, Michael, in the last 3 years, there might have been one webcast that we've been short of 1 hour, and that was only because of technical difficulties.
Right.
And we are well over our hour and a half that we allotted for this time. Sean O'Halloran is waiting in studio overtime to take your call at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Let us hear from you. We're going to wait for a few more minutes. We're going to take this question from Tim Wegger, because I promised Tim today that we would get to this question tonight. But we want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. His email says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. I would like to know your views on the celebration, or as I more adequately call it, religious tradition of communion. I've been so frustrated with this practice. Not that I don't agree with the remembering the Lord's death until he comes, but it has become a religious tradition in churches. Too often, the minister also makes a point of telling people to examine themselves, some even making it exclusive to only those who are, quote, born again, unquote, or in some cases, quote, part of the church, unquote. Others make a point of making it a real guilt trip to make people to repent or get right with God. To me, communion or remembering the Lord is something I can do when I go out with others for coffee or a meal, and or just fellowship with friends or whoever. It doesn't have to have the legalistic head trip that often goes with it. Did Jesus mean it for it to become what it has become in the religious world today?" And he says, "Hugs, Tim." It's Tim Wegger, ladies and gentlemen, from California. What do you think, Mikey?
Well, when Jesus actually did that, I don't know that he was instructing them to do it any more than the time that he was actually offering it to them, even though he said, "This do in remembrance of me." We know that Paul did quote those. But the communion, of course, from Catholicism has just become a repugnant thing as far as the gospel is concerned.
Wait a minute. You just said communion is repugnant.
Yes, especially in the light of Catholicism, because it has become something that is that replaces the gospel altogether, and replaces Jesus. Instead of acknowledging Jesus, it's literally they're literally replacing him. But I remember teaching on this extensively. It's been so many years ago, though, and the conclusion that I came to at the time was that it just was not a gospel issue. It's irrelevant whether somebody does it or does not do it. There is no ritual that can harm you unless it is a ritual that is required and has some spiritual value attached to it that is saying you're gaining something of spiritual value from God through doing something. You don't gain anything of spiritual value. All spiritual value and worth was gained at the cross and not through the act of, I put it in the very same class as water baptism. I don't get offended by water baptism. I don't get offended by anybody offering communion. I don't ever offer someone baptism, and I don't ever offer anyone communion. And if I were in a church and they were serving communion, I would gladly participate. But you see, what I do is I examined myself to see if I'm worthy. And I do, and I do.
And you are.
And I are. And
yeah, I think it's important to distinguish between the fact that you say there's no spiritual value, because all spiritual value that you could possibly desire or glean occurred for you and for all humanity at the cross over 2,000 years ago. It may, beautiful humans, cause some emotional or soulish value, in the cleansing of your soul. We have, and we've done this for, I mean, decades now in our family, as hard as that is to believe. But we've done the Passover during the Passover season in our family, and it has now become strictly a opportunity to teach the kids and whoever happens to be in our Passover. We've had over 200 people in our Passover dinners, the lesson of the grace of God. And we take communion through the matzah, the unleavened bread, through the wine, and we drink actual wine, I'm happy to report. And we teach the righteousness of God through Christ, through no work of our own. And it does do a lifting of the emotions, and it's part of what Michael called earlier the salvation experience. But it has no spiritual benefit at all, because yeah, all spiritual benefit was accomplished at the cross for you 2,000 years. You're as righteous and perfect and as holy as you could possibly be.
And you can't be more spiritual than what you already are.
Yes. Speaking of that 200-plus Passover Seder dinner, that was accomplished many moons ago now in northern Wisconsin in a place called Marshfield. And online, I cannot think of a better way to finish this webcast than to go to our Wisconsin correspondent, Pep Washburn, who is online, who's calling us from the Frozen Chosen in northern Wisconsin tonight. Pep!
Yeah. Frozen is right. It's been raining and freezing on the trees up here.
Oh, you can't
oh
beat October in northern Wisconsin. It's a beautiful thing.
We had snow yesterday.
That's nice. We had 90s and humid and sweating here today, Pep.
Hey, I got some trivial and some not-so-trivial comments to make.
Go for
it. Let me see if I can find my notes. Okay, here we go. First of all, I'm going to throw in $100 donation.
Oh, thank you so much.
We didn't get to stay on number 12 very long.
Or not trivial, that's up to you, however you want to look at that.
what did you say, Michael?
Thing, I said we didn't get to stay on number 12. We had 12 disciples, and now you've messed it all up.
Oh, we're on lucky 13.
Well, thanks for messing it up
really
for us.
Michael, you mentioned the book, The Legalist?
Yes.
All right. Hopefully the fellow who called in that you recommended that to is still listening. I think he was a guy from Texas, I believe.
Yes.
But that book, if he goes into Amazon.com, you will find 18 of those books available.
And oh, my. I bet they won't be after this webcast.
I think the author is Jack Stewart. Does that ring a bell to you?
You are correct.
Ding, 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 ding,
I'm
ding,
a genius.
You are a genius. We always knew that.
I was a librarian, you know. The research. I like the research. Okay, moving to something then in the trivial area then. Glenn mentioned earlier that you don't find anybody with the name Hitler anymore. You're wrong, Rabbi. Chicago, Salt Lake City, Chico, Lakeside, California, Milwaukee, Birmingham, Alabama. There's Hitlers living in all those cities.
Oh.
Okay, last thing, and this is a question for Mike. Earlier this evening, my wife and I were talking a bit about the definition of a cult. Can I have your definition of a cult?
I have not thought of that one at all. I know I used to have a definition. I say I haven't thought of it at all. I know I had a definition, but again, this is one of those subjects we kind of walked off and left, but I would sure love to hear yours.
I guess my definition...
Well, I'll say this. I'll say this, Pat.
Okay.
That... there was an episode of The Family Guy in the last week or so.
This is where we get our information.
Fox Television, the cartoon.
Right.
And the family realized that they were the wife of the Family Guy. What's her name, Michael?
I knew it until you, because the Simpsons came to mind, and I'm thinking Marge now. So Lois.
Is,
we got the word from God right there.
Right, she was Jewish. They found out she was descendant of Jewish blood, and the father, or the husband, the Family Guy, he embraces this Jewishness, and hilarity ensues. Eventually, she realizes that she doesn't want to identify herself as Jewish or Christian, and somehow Jesus walks through the door of the Family Guy, and they approach Jesus and they say, "What should we do? We understand you're Jewish. We thought we were Christians all this time," and Jesus says to the Family Guy's family, says, "Don't worry about it. All religion is full of crap." And that's how I would define the occult. Anything that is religious. And remember, religion actually means something, beautiful humans. It means, in the original Latin, to religare, to put back under bondage. Not to put under bondage, but to put back under bondage. Anything that puts people under bondage vis-a-vis the relationship with an almighty creator, I would call a cult. In other words, Catholicism, Protestantism, Judaism, any ism at all that puts people under guilt and condemnation and judgment and gives people rules and regulations that they have to follow in order to be considered right. Right with God, right with society, apart from the law of society, but just right in mores and values and not as far as a local law. But, I mean, we see law, Michael, or religion and occult practices even being developed in atheistic circles, in religious circles, in political correct circles.
Yeah,
that's occultic.
Yeah, that's pretty much the definition that we came up with earlier this evening too. Any institution, any institutionalization of thought, control of thought, control of your mind, behaviors, any of that falls into that cult definition, at least for us.
And we're all guilty of it. I mean, you know,
sure, absolutely.
We limit ourselves on this webcast to, and we've been chastised in the past because of certain language that we've used that actually got across the internet that when we didn't know we were live that people heard. This is, you know, many, even years, I think, ago now. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But we limit ourselves because of those values and mores, because we're trying to reach certain people. But the closer that you get, and I think, Michael, I'd be interested in your comments on this, the closer that you get to being restricted in your thought process and in your actions by group thought a dynamic that occurs that doesn't allow for full expression could be considered occultic.
You know, there's all kinds of influences out there, and we're always subject to peer pressure, whether it's for someone else's good or for our own. It's always going to be there. We always curtail the way we say or do things around certain groups of people. And I think that's just being civilized. I don't think it's cultish at all. I think it's just a part of being civil to know when and where you can do what and where. But I would not place that in a category of cultish at all. It is just a part of of just being civil. If I were to visit somebody else's, Paul talked about it, and whereas he encouraged everyone to remain out from under the law, he encouraged people to fit in wherever you are. You know.
Well, but would it be accurate to say that Jesus himself, being Jesus, as opposed to being an apostle, Paul or us, he did not abide by that? I mean, some of his actions, whether it be towards the apostles themselves, where he was very caustic and sarcastic towards the people that he was living with for over 3 years, the religious order, the religious institutions, he did things that clearly people today would be arrested for, and not only thrown out of churches for, but arrested for his behavior.
Yes, and of course there is always a time for, and again I'll keep that in the same category of civil unrest. There is a place even for that. But it's not for the sake of you being able to be you, it's for the sake of people being able to face the truth. So, I wouldn't even put Jesus' actions and that he was being free from the law. He was trying to get people free from the law. So it really comes down to just a heart issue as to our motivations for doing what we do and why we do it and when we do it. We are all free to do, and in the eyes of God, whatever we want. I curtail certain actions in front of certain people. I even add some actions in front of certain people to accommodate for their comfort. And I don't feel the slightest bit that I am under any degree of control or manipulation, whether from myself or from them. Now, if I start having to do that because to be accepted and down the whole line, that's another whole ball game altogether. But I really do believe that in sharing the gospel as we do, that my expertise in sharing the gospel is to bring that out in light of where religion is concerned and beliefs pertaining to relationship with God, not to apply that in its strictest context in our relationship with people. While God accepts us just the way we are, society does not. And there is not any human being who, I believe any human being who ignores those standards that, I don't even want to call them standards, but those social places where it's appropriate and inappropriate to do things, I think that's more of a sickness than a freedom.
Yes, that's, thank you. I always enjoy your thoughts on these things. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome.
We cannot thank you enough for calling. It's great to hear from you. Stay warm up there, okay?
Thanks, Pep. Try to stay warm, bud.
Yeah. Good night.
Keep feeding those deer. There's Pep Washburn, ladies and gentlemen, from Wisconsin, with a $100 gift towards the Gospel Revolution Autumn Pledge Drive 2009. We're close to 2 hours, Michael, on this pledge drive. We're just at 2 hours. I'm going to wait just another minute in case there's somebody else out there who really wants to get in. I know Sean's going overtime in studio in the Tampa Bay Glenn Klein Online Studios, but we're going to wait just for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to call at 1-800-436 3260. We've got 1-800-436-3260. That's the toll-free number available to you. We've gotten to our questions tonight via the email. We've gotten now up to 13 participants. We've got to exceed 16 because that was our record for participants in a pledge drive. And with Pep's gift, that brings us to $1,399,
and
that is with Jeff Robertson's $1 gift.
And 60 cents.
What?
And 60 cents.
And 60 cents, that's right.
Yes. We're not counting
forget
everything.
About David Johnson's additional $48.60 gift.
Yes.
But we've heard from so many folks tonight, and it's been a very exciting evening for the Gospel Revolution and the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. We're going to wait a few more minutes at 1-800-436-3260 before we call it a night. But we've had a lot of really fun things that have happened and a lot of participation tonight. We hope you have enjoyed the program. We we're less than a month away, Michael. Actually, 1 month from tomorrow, I should say. We will be gathering for the second Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston, Texas. And anybody who wants to participate in that should consider doing it. There's still room for you at the Marriott North at Greenpoint Hotel in beautiful Houston, Texas. All you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com and click on the information from the convention. This is going to be one for the ages. As Michael teaches on Hebrews, the theme of the conference is Hebrews Revealed. There's going to be some Hebrews revealed. I mean, I thought I revealed some stuff about Hebrews last convention, but you're going to be going through literally Hebrews 1:1 throughout the entire book of Hebrews, and that is going to seriously discombobulate a lot of preconceptions and false teachings, if you will, that have been perpetrated from the book of Hebrews.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. We're calling it, you know, a subtitle, if you will, is Debunking Hebrews. And you know, I really liked what Trace has said, that it was scary. There were so many places in the book of Hebrews that is scary, downright frightening. I'd never stopped to think of it in those terms, but when you think about God chastening you and scourging you and punishing you, and being able to do something to suddenly fling yourself into hell because of a single act of unbelief, and all of those things are taken out of the book of Hebrews. So you will be delighted to find out what those things are actually saying in context. Context, context, context. It'll mean something totally different to you.
And not only will you be delighted to hear that from the book of Hebrews, because, you know, we got to be frank and say that if you just order the teaching series, you'll get it from that. But if you're present, you're going to be getting a part of everything else, all the other teachings, the fellowship, which cannot be overstated about how it is to experience an encounter like that, confab of like-minded people gathering from around the world. And all you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com, click on the information about the convention, and just get in contact with the Marriott through the information that's on the website. Make your reservation for the hotel rooms. There's no charge for the convention this year. We're just gathering in Houston so many times over the last, 15-plus years, but certainly over the last 3 years that we've been doing the webcast, we get the question of where can we go to get together with like-minded people? And here's the opportunity, folks. Not only do we give you a virtual opportunity every week on the Internet to get together with folks, but we are giving you a physical opportunity in November in Houston for the Gospel Revolution Convention. So go there. You can call Mike directly at his home number at 281-955-1910, 281-955-1910, not only to talk about the convention, but any question you have regarding the Gospel Revolution or the Gospel, the Bible, etc. That number is available to you. But we are now closing the second night of three of the Fall Gospel Revolution Pledge Drive. Those of you that are listening on the archive, or if you're listening live, we encourage you to go to the website at gospelrevolution.com and page down a little bit. Just click on the donations button and then make your best contribution possible. We're looking for participation. We had a goal of $25,000 some pledge drives ago. We had 16 people participate in that to get us to 25 grand. We're looking for more people than that. We're at 13 people tonight after 2 weeks of this, or after two nights of this. We're not obviously at the end of our second week. We're just at the beginning of our second week. And just participate for a dollar, $5, $10, whatever you can do on a monthly basis or on a one-time basis for gifts totaling $100 or more. You will receive free and postage paid the brand-new teaching series that Michael did in Canada called Ministry Bringing Relief. We'll send that to you free and postage paid. It's called Ministry Bringing Relief. And just all you do is you click on donations, do your best, and then email us, though, at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can include it in part of our goal. Like right now, where we want to thank David Johnson for contributing this week $49.60, James Forehand, $30, Paul Diggers, $200, Richard Mull, an additional $100, Luz and Cindy Rodriguez, $100, Mike Cole, who called tonight from Daytona Beach, $20. Elizabeth and Chris Esmeyer from Butte, Montana with $20. Jeff Robertson, currently of Asheville, North Carolina with $1. Tress Martin from Spokane, Washington with $100. And Pep Washburn from Wisconsin, from beautiful Marshfield, Wisconsin, with a $100 gift and a contribution on the program. And that brings us to $1,398.60. For night number two of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive for 2009. Pretty good, Mikey. I mean, we're at 2 hours plus, and we put it out there. Folks participated and responded, and it's been a fun night. I've been saved all over again.
Yes, I was going to say, what fun. And sometimes you can just interpret fun as salvation for the soul.
I'll take it. I need it.
Absolutely.
I love it. We want to thank everybody who's listened and participated and will participate as we close off tonight. Want to thank Sean O'Halloran for staying overtime at the Tampa Bay studios. He was our producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire. And we're going to do it again in 1 week's time. Let us hear from you this week. You've got all the information. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!